This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And a pleasant good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show here on the Saints Radio Network. It is our weekly visit with Saints head coach Darren Rizzi, brought to you by Visit Pensacola, the way to beach. Darren Rizzi and Clint Kubiak will be our assistant coach, the offensive coordinator. Bobby's at the Silver Slipper Casino. I'm in studio, and Darren Rizzi's on the line with the Saints head coach. Coach, welcome to the show.
Guys, happy Monday. Thanks for having me.
You bet. 14-14 tie into the fourth quarter turns into a 35-14 win. Second straight, 4-7 now overall. There's a lot to talk about, so we'll work hard not to make this the Taysom Hill show. Going to be hard because the man was pretty impressive in pretty much everything yesterday. Seven carries, 138 yards to me. 19.7 yards a carry, eight receptions for 50 and the kickoff return for 42. I mean, he's 34 years old. It's just, I don't know how you have enough adjectives for him.
Yeah, running out of things to say about Taysom, and they're all positive. Just again, you know, people talk about, you know, what position is this guy, what is he, what can he, and really he's just a really, really outstanding football player. That's what he is. He's an old school throwback type of guy, and you know, listen, there's nothing he can't do. I mean, if he had to go out there at a pinch, he could kick off. He could long snap. He's our backup holder. And one of the things that gets lost, he rushes punts really well, blocked punts in his career. I mean, this guy is just a great guy to have on the team. I'm glad we have him, and not surprised whatsoever by the success he had yesterday.
You know, Coach Rizzi, I look at always the turnover margin. Now, we were able to overcome that. We were minus two. Taysom was a part of that. But the one area, I could say when we have the bye, then we're going to play the Rams. Can we run the ball, and can we stop the run? I'm telling you, that's going to go a long way. If you look at coming into the game overall in the season, we were giving up 5.1 yards a carry. We were getting 4.3. Not so much. We were fortunate to beat Atlanta. But I said, we got to flip that, you know, as far as stopping the run and running the football. Well, we did that yesterday against the Browns. We averaged 7.6 yards a carry and only gave up 3.3. If we do that now, I'd say turnovers do matter. But if we do that one thing, now I know Matthew Stafford, they're going to pass the ball and try and exploit our secondary, considering the success they had last season. But I still think if we can run the ball and stop the run, that's a good formula going forward.
Yeah, Bobby, I couldn't agree more with you. That was, you know, we had three things as a team going into the game that we focused on, you know, how we really felt that we could win the game against the Browns. And, you know, and that was one of them, win the line of scrimmage, because, you know, as we talked about, I think last week, that's been something that, you know, we hadn't done well. And just a little bit, you know, inconsistent with it. And so, you know, if you had told me they were going to come into the game and they were going to rush the ball for 60-something yards and we were going to have 200-plus, I would have told you we were going to win the game. Now, obviously, there's other factors. You mentioned the turnovers. I think, you know, one of the big things we did early was get that fourth down stop. That's no different than a turnover. It doesn't go down as a turnover, but it is a turnover. And so that was a big one. Plus, we had another fourth down stop later in the game. And so I think that kind of neutralized our two turnovers, if you will. But, you know, really, when you look at that game yesterday, you know, the game was probably a lot closer there in the third quarter. It was tied up, obviously, because I felt like, you know, we had the big hand in that. We gave up the explosive plays, and we turned the ball over twice down in their red zone. That was really the difference at that point. We've been playing, you know, fairly well, minus a few plays. So we got to stop shooting ourselves in the foot, but I agree. We got to make sure we can run the football and stop the run. It all starts there.
Now, Coach Rizzi, I don't know. You got some mojo going forward. I don't know, voodoo economics, or however you describe it. But in two games in a row, you look at the opposing kickers, they missed three field goals. One week after, you know, Koo, the South Korean, he missed a couple of field goals, another one blocked, and then Dustin Hopkins. I mean, all of a sudden, I don't know, the Rizzy Hex, I don't know how you, the Rizzler, I don't know how you put on that, but he shanked the field goal 51 and 32 and 27 yards. So just keep that up, whatever that is. But the one thing that, I mean, how can you call that penalty on Peyton Turner when, you know, you can maybe grab an offensive lineman and you're pulling him, defensive holding. I don't know. I saw the replay like he just fell down. How can they call that play? I think the officials screwed that up overall on that particular play. But, boy, that's some good mojo going there when all of a sudden that maybe, you know, because you consider, like, kickers are making 50-yard kicks plus, you know, going forward and the way the NFL kickers are. But that can work well on your behalf, and all of a sudden you think you have automatic points, but it doesn't occur. And that's what happened the last two games. You don't see that too often, like six missed field goals considering the kickers who have excelled at a high level.
Yeah, listen, I agree, Bobby. The kickers at this level have gotten, you know, in the NFL have gotten so good and so consistent. And obviously we've benefited the last couple weeks from you know, from some misses. Now, I will say this. I think, you know, part of those has to do with our rush. Our field goal rush has been outstanding. We got our hand on a ball against the Falcons. We just missed another one. Great effort again yesterday by that unit. You know, and you guys know, when those guys go and watch that film, the kickers and snappers and holders and the protection guys go watch that film week after week, they speed up a little bit more because, hey, we've got to get it off because these guys are really good at rushing and maybe screws with the operation a little bit. So, listen, I think it's all encompassing. I think it probably goes without saying that I didn't agree with the call on Peyton Turner. I think probably everyone probably saw that. So I don't have to really elaborate on that too much. But, yeah, I didn't think that was a penalty. And fortunately for us, they missed the next one. So there's that old expression, ball don't lie, right? So I think we got a little ball don't lie there at the end.
Coach, you signed Marquez Valdes-Scantling back on October 15th, but he didn't play right away, and he and Derek had some time together. But, man, you look at last week, he had in a five-play span last week in the second quarter, three receptions, 109 yards, two touchdowns, and then in the second quarter again, 71 yards. He's got five receptions, three touchdowns, averaging 33.5 yards per reception. I mean, is it that kind of – he feels like he and Carr kind of in step. You know, they're not doing it 10 times a game, but, I mean, it just feels like that deep threat is what this team, you know, with no Olave, no Shaheed, Valdes-Scantling's been that guy.
Yeah, and well, I mentioned the explosive plays, you know, when your opponent – has explosive plays, the only way to neutralize that is you got to have some yourself. And listen, you know, MBS, he's done a phenomenal job coming in here, you know, midstream, learning the offense, providing the spark, as he likes to call it, a little sauce. He likes to call it the sauce. Him and I joke around about that. I always call it the juice. He likes to call it the sauce. But he's provided a lot of sauce for us. And listen, now that he's become a weapon, a deep threat, a big play threat, it changes the offense. And I think Clint and the offensive staff have done a really nice job the last two weeks of utilizing him and putting him in positions where, you know, even a couple of those balls that we didn't connect on down the field, those are plays that the defense and the opponent has to be leery of and make sure they defend. And so that opens up a lot of other things. And you know, when Olave, obviously, and Shaheed went down, you're worried about, you know, we really don't have that, you know, take the top off the coverage kind of guy, that speed element, whatever you want to call it. And he's provided that the last couple of weeks. And what you're seeing is it opens up a lot of other facets of the offense. And you know, we've had a lot of guys get their hands on the ball here the last couple of weeks, and that's great. That's the more we can do that, the better. Derek's done a great job distributing the ball. But no, you got to give a lot of credit to Scantling. He's done a really nice job, and hopefully he can continue to do that, stay healthy, and continue to do that and provide that for us.
Got to take our first break, talking with Saints head coach Darren Rizzi and Bobby Hebert as well. This is the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show on the Saints Radio Network. Back after this. Welcome back to the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show right here on the Saints Radio Network. Our visit with head coach Darren Rizzi, and it's brought to you by Visit Pensacola, the way to beach, along with Bobby Hebert. And Coach, Bobby and I are about the same age, so I don't like to do an age thing, but we started with Taysom being at 34, and you talked about that first drive, the turnover on downs. That was DeMario Davis, 35, 13 tackles, tackle for a loss, two passes defense, and then Cam Jordan. If you go back to Carolina, he had 10 defensive snaps, career low, but really since then in the Atlanta game and then this week, sack, tackle for a loss, couple of quarterback hits, and a ton more snaps. Just kind of talk about those two guys. And, you know, this is kind of Cam's time. If you look throughout his career, he gets better as the year goes.
Yeah, I agree. And the last 2 weeks, I think Cam's played, you know, his best football of the season. I think the game plans the last 2 weeks were, you know, really conducive to, you know, Cam being in there. And he was a big reason that, you know, that they didn't run the ball that well. You know, listen, you know, you have guys like Cam and DeMario, obviously two veteran presence, two phenomenal guys to have in the locker room, just great leaders. And when those guys are setting the tone and making plays, man, everybody kind of follows suit. And so it's for our group, for our team, for our organization, those guys have just been phenomenal. And really these last 2 weeks, those guys have really stepped up, not only on the field, but off the field. And their leadership is felt throughout the building. It's great to see them both have success. You know, you talk about, you know, we have, those older guys, we have a little bit of a unique locker room right now because we have a really interesting mixture of, you know, veterans and younger players. And so there's a lot of younger guys, first and second year guys. And when you have guys like DeMario and you have guys like Cam and you have guys like Taysom, the guys that you mentioned, these older veteran players, and here's guys that are just doing it right and going through and being professionals and then also having success, it's a big deal. And so kudos to all three of those guys.
Now, Coach Rizzi, looking at Taysom Hill, now we got to talk about him. We've talked about him a number of segments, but, you know, all-purpose yards, whether it's kickoff returns, whether it's throwing, receiving, rushing, 248 yards. And I wish I'd have been in that damn press conference and he was talking to you. And you brought up Red Grange, the Galloping Ghost. Probably people don't even know his nickname was the Galloping Ghost. I can even go back to Jim Thorpe, the Native American. But I look at Frank Gifford. I mean, Frank Gifford. We all watched the beginning of Monday Night Football. You think who was on Howard Cosell and Don Meredith and all that? And I say, look at NFL history. Only two players have done this. All of NFL history. We love the NFL. You talk about 100-plus years. Only two players in NFL history have 30-plus rushing touchdowns, 10-plus receiving touchdowns, 10-plus passing touchdowns, and that's Frank Gifford and Taysom Hill. I know he's married to Kathy Lee, but that was in a lot of part of his life. You know, Kathy Lee's famous. But Frank Gifford and what he did and Taysom Hill, the youngsters, we got to educate them because they don't realize who Frank Gifford was and what Taysom Hill has actually accomplished, not at the high school level or college level, but this is the National Football League. This is history.
Yeah, I think I said this last week, Bobby. Anytime you talk about, you know, you use the expressions all time, and, you know, we used that with Alvin last week. When you, every time you mention that all-time leading rusher in the organization, and then anytime you mention the word ever in the NFL, this is only the second time ever. And, you know, listen, I grew up, I think you guys know, I grew up in the New York area, grew up in North Jersey, and grew up a Giants fan. So obviously I'm very familiar with Frank Gifford. And so, and I watched all those Monday Night Football games, just like you growing up with Frank and Don Meredith and Howard Cosell. And yeah, listen, some of the things Taysom is doing currently, is remarkable. And I'm a big football historian. I love comparing guys to the old guys. I love doing that. You know, we had all of our alums in this weekend, you know, because obviously Jari went into the Ring of Honor, and to have all those guys out of practice on Saturday, you know, I love stuff like that. You know, and a bunch of the Saints legends were around and got to announce some of those guys at our practice, and, you know, Dalton Hilliard and Willie Rofe and, you know, all these guys. The list goes on and on and on. And, yeah, listen, I think it's awesome. And I agree with educating the younger guys about some of these former guys, because, you know, it's one of those things where I think, like, you may not appreciate it until, and I hope Taysom plays for a lot longer, but it may not, people may not appreciate it until he's done.
And, you know, Coach Rizzi, the one thing is that when I look at with Taysom Hill, where he's at, and just being part of the team concept, I think he's an outstanding citizen on and off the field. But you know what the one thing, and I think you're a big part of this, and the fans have noticed this, they embrace this, is that how the players respond to you, how the passion and emotion that you have for a game, for the game. And I thought Taysom Hill said finishing games. How in the hell we lost to the Eagles the first game and their first Atlanta game? You know, when you looked at it, when you reflect back on the season, look, how do you finish games? And look how we finish games as of late. That's going to be the case. Hopefully we finish at a high level to win against the Rams. But finishing games is something we struggled with. This is Taysom comment, but he says Coach Rizzi has been a really good pulse on the team and what we need collectively as a team to get ready for a football game. Then the guys obviously have to respond to that and to be able to execute. So you look at a parity. I don't know. Did you block the kick? Did you make the kick? Who won the game? I mean, you look at them, when how you close, how you finish games. Now, it's a cliche, the fine thin line between success and failure. But look at the National Football League, how you feel about whether you won or lost the game. And it goes down to how did you finish the game. Think about where we'd be at right now. Probably Dennis Allen would still be the head coach if we beat the Eagles or Atlanta the first time around. But you in that situation. So you can control what happens on the back end to motivate the players, whether you're going against the Rams, Giants, Raiders, whether the Commanders, whoever it might be, in Tampa Bay to close out the season. But it's amazing how many NFL games come down to that fourth quarter and how you finish the game, whether you win or lose.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it, Bobby. And when you look at the stats at the end of the year, the teams that are playing in the playoffs in the tournament at the end of the year are going to be the teams that usually have the best records in one score games. And that's something we didn't do well. Again, when I took over, you know, I tried to look at, all right, what are the things that are tangible things that we need to get better at that are just obvious? We brought up a few of them, but, you know, as a team, you know, we just weren't finishing games off and, you know, during that stretch. And you mentioned a couple of them. And so, you know, like you just asked, how do you work on that? Well, listen, I think like finishing like anything else is a habit. So how do you finish off your practices? How do you finish off the drills we're doing? How do you finish off the team period? How do you finish off your day when you're in the building? Are you watching film? You know, how do you finish off your week? So finishing becomes a habit, and what I've tried to instill these last couple of weeks and with the rest of the coaches is just finishing everything and making that become a habit. And I think that's what Taysom, you know, was alluding to. And I think the guys have bought into that, and they've really, you know, you hear the guys on the sideline in the fourth quarter, everybody finish. But it starts with finishing a drive, and it starts with finishing out the half, and start, you know, and so that's really, really important. And you're right. I mean, just think about the last 2 weeks, right? You know, Denver loses to Kansas City on the last play block field goal. Chicago loses to Green Bay on the last play block field goal. And that's just a couple of games that come to mind. I know last night that the Chargers Denver game came down to the end. The Seattle San Fran game, Geno Smith has a touchdown run. That comes down to the end. So you're right. There's so many games that come down to those last possession or two, and the teams that finish the best and the closeout games are the teams that are going to be there in the end. That's just the bottom line.
Need to take a break. It is the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show right here on the Saints Radio Network. Welcome back. Mike Austin, Bobby Hebert. This is the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show on the Saints Radio Network. Our weekly visit with Saints head coach Darren Rizzi, brought to you by Visit Pensacola, the way to beat. Just a couple more minutes, Coach. You brought up Dante Pettis and Kevin Austin again, practice squad elevations. And in that change week pre-Atlanta, it was kind of like starting from scratch, you said, with the wide receivers. Like, all right, cats, go out there. Whoever earns the right to play is going to play. And Pettis and Austin were both brought up last week as well. But Pettis, man, from a punt return standpoint, you know, he had 9 touchdowns in college, and he's an inch away from a touchdown yesterday.
Yeah, he sure was. What a big play in the game. And, you know, we had a tough decision there to make towards the end of the week just with the roster and who was going to be up for the game, the actors and all that. And we decided to go with Dante as the punt returner this past game, and you know what a huge play by him. And so, he also had a really big third down conversion, broke a tackle, got and moved the chains. That was a big play in the game. And then Kevin Austin also had the a nice catch there and some really good blocking by him during the run game. And so, yeah, listen, we've tried to make it a competition out there with that receiver group. It's a younger group, a lot of new names. But guys that are practicing their butts off and competitive, and hopefully we can keep that going. You're right, Dante had a great college career as a returner, and so we saw a little bit of that yesterday, which is really cool for him.
Now, Coach Rizzi, how much explain to the fans you could take from last season into this season? Now they're not in the NFC South, but we play in the Rams in back-to-back seasons after the bye week. Man, we got exploited, to say the least. We got torched. I mean, Alante Taylor struggled. I think you learn from those type of games. But you look, okay, now Marshon Lattimore, I think he's the greatest Saints cornerback in history. He now is with the Washington Commanders. Paulson Adebo was playing at a high level. A little handsy at times, getting those penalties. But he's out for the season. So Alante Taylor, top cornerback. Ugo Amadi is taking advantage of his opportunity. And then you look at Kool-Aid McKinstry. I want you to talk. You think of Kool-Aid's availability against the Rams, but I'm telling you right now, and I'm just trying to keep it real, that the Rams and Matthew Stafford, they think they can exploit our secondary. I think you're going to have to do some kind of game plan to figure out, considering what happened last year, how they might attack us. And now you know you want to stop the run and run the football. But we got exploited. You know that game that happened in L.A.? I'm looking at that game and go, man, we had no chance to beat them that game. And it was very discouraging. So which can you enlighten the fans after the bye week against the Rams? Now, I don't know who's playing and all that. And it looks like they have Cooper Kupp and, what's his name? Nuka, what's his name? Puka, yeah. And he's available. So that's a big challenge for us, what we're going to try and do to stop them.
Well, I agree with you on a couple things. Number one, they're definitely a challenging group. They got a really good quarterback, excellent receivers, and a really good play caller and their head coach. And so anytime you play those guys, from a defensive perspective, they're definitely going to challenge you. And the second thing I'll agree with you on is, no, we didn't play well last year. And we didn't play well as a team, to be honest with you. When you look back at that game, I know a lot was made about the defense. Certainly, you know, they had a bunch of yards. But, you know, we didn't play a great game overall. Our offense could have done a better job of controlling the ball a little bit, keeping those guys off the field. You know, we have to play complementary football against them. And I think one of the, you know, a few of the keys to that game are going to be, you know, just what you said and just what I said. Number one, we got to play better overall as a team, all three phases. And then obviously we're going to have a great plan going in to affect the quarterback and to keep those receivers off balance.
Well, Coach, you get the bye week, get some time off, get everybody rested, and then get that momentum back in a couple of weeks. December 1st, Superdome, the Rams. Appreciate your time, as always. Continued success.
Appreciate you guys. Always good to catch up with you.